Welcome back to the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast. I have a little baby snoring, but he isn't snoring in the interview. I actually just hopped off a call with Amanda from Sincerely Marie Designs. That's what I'm going to be sharing with you today. As many of you know, homemaking is very near and dear to my heart. I create lots of videos on just sharing what I do to make this place a home, whether it's cleaning, cooking something from scratch for my family, decorating. Part of that is creating a beautiful home that feels cozy and comfortable. Now, this can take many different forms. For some people, this will be a very minimal task that just makes the home very comfortable and inviting. Some people are more interested in decor, and I'm definitely one of those people. I love designing a room. It is something I'm passionate about. And one person who I really admire their style is Amanda from Sincerely Marie Designs. She creates, this cozy, collected vibe that she makes with her own two hands, sources from antique shops and from Facebook Marketplace and garage sales. And when you look at her photos on the internet, you think this home just is so inviting and comfortable without being too stuffy, but also just being very, very beautiful. And so I wanted to chat with her about some of her tips on the favorite things that she makes, what she sews, where she sources things, and how she pieces it all together. Because that is just something that I find is really challenging. And I love hearing from people who have experience and who create very beautiful homes. I spoke with Andrea from Pine and Prospect Home, had a very similar discussion a few weeks back. Amanda brings a whole new perspective on it, very similar, but in her own way. And so I'm excited to share that interview with you. My name is Lisa, mother of seven and creator of the blog and YouTube channel Farmhouse on Boone. Join me as I share with you my love for creating a handmade home from scratch, cooking, and a little mom and entrepreneur life along the way. Well, thank you so much for joining me, Amanda. It's been forever. I remember you lived down near Atlanta because I remember meeting you that one year. You still live down there, right?
Yeah, we do. We're about, about 45 minutes to an hour north of Atlanta. Okay. But yeah, it's been a while.
I know. I think it was like when I first started my blog, I went to the Haven Conference and had dinner with you and Deb and a few others.
It's been a long time, but thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I'm so glad to have you. Actually, it was interesting. The other day I was at my homeschool group and one of the moms was like, well, I was really inspired. We were talking decor in her kitchen and she was like, I really want to do something like Amanda from Sincerely Marie Designs. I'm like, she's going to be on my podcast Monday. She's like, what? I'm like, I know, it's so random. It was so funny.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. She was like, well, I love her house. I love everything about it. And I'm like, me too. Aww. That's why I'm having her on my podcast. But yeah, so I wanted to talk about finding vintage and antique finds. This is a hot topic on my channel, on my podcast, because there's just a lot of experience that goes into it. And I feel like you really nail it all throughout your home. You have a very collected home that I can tell came together over time. And it's one of those things where there's so many details that when somebody who isn't trying to, like somebody who's just not a decorator, they might not notice why your home, they like it so much, what went into all those details. So I want to chat through all that. So first, tell us a little bit about you and your blog and your Instagram and your home or whatever else you want to tell us about you.
Well, my name is Amanda. First of all, I get asked all the time, why Sincerely Marie? Marie is just my middle name. Amanda was actually taken.
Oh.
So that's fine.
Well, I like it. It's my middle name too.
Yeah. Is it really?
I think it's the number one most common middle name of all time, but still, yes.
I think so too.
I still like it.
So I do too. I started my blog, I think it's been about 9 years this year. And I started it honestly out of just wanting somewhere to share creative things. I had Charlie, my son, who's 9 now, and I went from working full-time to just being at home full-time. And I was always so used to just kind of go, go, go and doing things that I was so bored. Yeah. And, you know, New Orleans sleep a lot. So I was like, I've got to do something. And so a friend of mine actually suggested, well, why don't you start a blog and share what you're doing with your home that you have right now? Because before the house we're in now, we had another fixer-upper.
Okay.
And so I was like, okay, I don't really know what I'm doing. And I think this was like the same year maybe Pinterest came out. Like it
was. Oh, yeah.
I didn't know what I was doing at all. It was the first blog was rough. And so I just kind of like jumped in. I was like, all right, well, I'll figure this out. And just started there. And then over time, the style just kind of came together. And it even like we've been in the house for now 6 years. My style's changed. You know, when I first moved in, I thought I wanted one thing and I kind of went that direction. And I was like, no, I don't think this is it. And it's something I've had to work with over time. So it's been a process.
Yeah.
Over the years, to be honest.
Yeah. So, I think that's how it works for everyone to an extent, because until you start trying things, you might not even realize what your style is. Like what's my style? I have no idea until I see it. And so sometimes I think you do just have to sort of dip your toe into it and start working on it. Yep. So how would you describe it now? Like what would you describe is the kind of style that somebody can expect when they come to your Instagram and your blog?
I would say there's a blend of a lot of things. I've discovered there's a lot of little details of a lot of different styles that I like. I really gravitate towards like English country. I love old things. I always have, even as like a little girl. And I like country, but not necessarily rustic country.
Right. Yep.
So English country, I love certain things about we live in a colonial home. So there are aspects like old Americana, colonial type, simple, clean things that I like as well. And then there's a little touch of probably definitely cottage, maybe, I would say. So it's a blend. It's to try to pin it down. I've tried to come up with it before, like, what is my style? And I feel like it's a little bit of all of those things.
Yeah. Well, sometimes you want to go on Pinterest and search for a name so that you can get some inspiration from people who are similar to yours. And I also find it really difficult because I have like all of these images in my brain of how I want my home to feel, but it's hard to find. I found it in some design books, some magazines, some Instagram accounts like yours, but ultimately I don't even know how to search it because you can't search certain things.
Yep.
You can't search farmhouse. Yep. You can't really even search cottage.
It's so true. Yeah, it's so true. Another term that's become kind of popular is like grand millennial. And like I can see some of that in my home too. But when I search that style and I pull it up, I'm like, oh, well, it's not exactly that, you know?
Yeah, sometimes that one comes a little bit younger. Like I want mine that, but for a 36-year-old. It looks like a 22-year-old's apartment. And so I'm like, okay, I like the collected look of it.
I know what you mean. There's still like a modern, almost like new look in a way to it. So I know what you're saying.
Yeah. It's hard to nail down what it's called. If you want to search for inspiration, I don't know what to tell you except for lots of books that I've found and then also certain Instagram accounts, which this is jumping way ahead, but we can go there. What are some of your inspirations whenever you're designing your home?
Oh man. I pull from all over, and I know that you had mentioned, you know, if there were any shows or anything on like honestly, I don't watch any of them. I really don't. I feel like I used to years ago. And then I just got to a point where and I think you said this, it's hard to get design ideas for a home that looks layered and collected and homey, I guess, in a TV show, because it's really impossible for them to do. So I really don't watch too much.
They're not thinking about one house for 10 straight years.
Right, exactly.
They're thinking about it for a season or, you know, maybe 3 or 4 months or something.
Right. Some of my favorite accounts to follow, I absolutely love Tessa from 9 and 16. And I think what I think what I love about her account so much, she's an interior designer and she's done some beautiful, beautiful rooms. And so she'll share some of her projects that she's working on and has done in the past. But she also just shares little bits and pieces of her own home. And I think what I love about her style is her fabric use. Oh my gosh, she has so many beautiful fabrics that like I have to study each picture because I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, like every little detail. And some of the fabrics are like way out of my price range, but I can definitely appreciate. Like I look at it, I'm like, oh, how could I replicate that like in my budget? So I love her account. Right. I also really like Jean Stoffer, which I actually think she has a show now on Discovery Network. And what I like about her stuff is her, not just like her decorating so much, but it's the way she redoes rooms. She does a lot of older homes and she still maintains a lot of the like beautiful, charming details. And all of her rooms are so like cozy and there's a lot of like drama and even some things I wouldn't necessarily do in my house just color wise, but I look at hers and it's inspiring to me because it is.
Yeah, you can draw inspiration. Yeah. Yeah.
So I love those accounts. I've got so many. Oh my gosh. I'm sitting here thinking Heather from Sweet Shady Lane. I really like her a lot. She's got a lot of just beautiful decorating ideas and she does these boxes each season where she'll like sell little like decor boxes and they'll have like different little things in it that you can order. Super cute stuff. But those would probably be on Instagram some of my like I like to draw inspiration from, I think, the most.
Yeah. And I also noticed you have a lot of design books around your house, which my podcast listeners are probably sick of hearing about it because I think I've mentioned a lot of these books like
a million times,
15 times now.
I love.
Yeah, because we all have the same books and we're trying to a homey feel.
Yeah,
you know, because that's just it. I started noticing that I was sick of everything being really bare. Mm-hmm. I wanted there to be layers. I would look at people's homes and think, well, what is it I like about this? And I started noticing things like, I like the quilts. I like the lampshades. I like the antique pieces here. And it took me literally studying each of those over time, collecting those things for it to sort of come together like that. So yeah, that's all new to me.
I think that was kind of the case too with our house. Like when we first moved in, everything felt so empty and so bare. Mm-hmm. And I felt like it took me forever. When I look back, I'm like, wow, you know, in 6.5 years we've been here, like this didn't happen overnight. Like this has taken years to get to this point.
Yeah.
So it's not something you can rush.
No, you can't. I mean, you can if you're not interested in that kind of style, which I'm obviously fascinated because I talk about this constantly. But I love when you look around your home and you see all these pieces. And it's funny because I'm coming to you from the most bare room in my entire house because the rest of the house is taken over by children.
Right now. Oh, don't worry.
But normally, like if I'm sitting in my living room or my kitchen or my bedroom, like the main area downstairs, I look around and I'm like, oh, that came from there. I made that. That came from there. Remember the day that we did this? Remember when I found that bargain on, you know, Facebook Marketplace? Every single piece is curated from somewhere, whether it be on the internet or just somewhere I went and got something or a DIY, and it's layer upon layer of, you know, we've only been here for 3 years, but 3 years of intentionally designing this home is what has brought it together.
And I love that. Yeah. I love that because then everything kind of has a story too. Like when you can look back and like, oh yeah, I remember when I got this, or like we've got this hutch in our dining room that somebody was giving away on the marketplace. And it was like one of those, you know, whoever gets to it first.
Uh-huh. Yeah. No holds.
I couldn't get in touch with anybody. My husband was in a meeting at work. I had my son at the time was, I think, like 5. And I was like, well, how am I going to get this? I'm like, well, I've got a minivan and I've got some plywood. And so I just went and I thought I was going to probably kill myself trying to get it loaded, but I did it.
All
and
by
so
yourself,
now it's like, we look at that hutch. Yeah, I did. And it's funny, my husband and I, we look at that all the time. He's like, remember that one time you went and got that and you had to load it all on your own?
There's a will, there's a way.
That's right. That's right. So yeah, I love that everything has a story. I think it's great.
Yeah.
I take great care in my home to source products that are healthy, natural, organic, that will promote overall health. Alongside cooking from scratch, there are some foundational things like clean water and clean air that are as important as any of these other things. Americans take about 20,000 breaths per day and spend an average of 90% of their time indoors. My kids, they spend a ton of time outside, but I spend a lot of time inside cooking. I try to keep the window open, but still, the indoor air that we breathe can be up to 100 times more polluted than outdoor air, according to the EPA. Indoor air pollutants can cause respiratory symptoms like sneezing, congestion, scratchy throat, and even more serious health problems like lung and heart disease. So what is the solution for this? I want to tell you about this podcast sponsor, Air Doctor, the air purifier that filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants so your lungs don't have to. This includes allergens, pollen, pet dander, dust mites, mold spores, and even bacteria and viruses. We have an indoor cat, we have pollen, and who knows what else around our house. So this just gives me peace of mind knowing that running Air Doctor will get rid of 99.99% of dangerous contaminants. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus shipping. Head to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code farmhouse and you'll receive up to $300 off air purifiers. Exclusive to podcast customers, you will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. Lock this special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code farmhouse.
Taking a quick break to tell you about an awesome podcast sponsor, Cozy Earth. I have been sleeping in my Cozy Earth bamboo pajamas every single night. I put them in the washer and dry them so that they're ready again because I cannot wait to go to bed in them. They are just so comfortable. Cozy Earth is offering Simple Farmhouse Life listeners 35% off your order with the code farmhouse. Cozy Earth offers bedding products that will transform your sleep. Currently, I wake up 4 or 5 times every night to nurse the baby, and so it's important to me that I have a comfortable bed to get back into to fall asleep more quickly because my sleep can be so interrupted. Cozy Earth bedding is temperature regulating and it has superior softness. All products come with a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty. Incorporating Cozy Earth products into your self-care routine can enhance your sleep quality and overall wellness. Treat yourself to the ultimate in comfort and indulgence with Cozy Earth bedding and sleepwear and prioritize your self-care and sleep. You can head on over to CozyEarth.com and use the code farmhouse for an exclusive 35% off. Go get your mom the luxury she deserves at CozyEarth.com with the promo code farmhouse.
So in your home, a lot of pieces are handmade. Everything from slip covers to even your lampshades, which I'm very intrigued by and definitely want to try my hand at very soon. So what are some of your favorite DIYs in your home?
Oh, man. Okay, so I was thinking about this. There's so many because I feel like so much of our home is DIY'd. I mean, I think we went into it kind of thinking like, okay, what do we have to pay somebody else to do? And so I've narrowed it down a little bit. I think one of my favorite things that I've done, and I think too because I get so many questions about it, is my ottoman in our living room. It's a square ottoman. I made it. It was very simple, like super inexpensive. And that post is on my blog. And then I also made a...
Oh, I've looked at it a bunch because I want to make something just like it.
Yeah, it's so...
I'm very familiar.
It was so easy. And I remember thinking... It's so pretty. Like, oh. Well, I was thinking, I was like, oh, it's so simple. You know, like, you know, we'll see how it does. Like, I like it. I don't know if anybody else will care. But that has been like one of the most popular...
That's like the one.
Yeah, because I think it's because it is simple and people can do it. And sewing just opens up so many doors. It's like a game changer. I taught myself how to sew on YouTube, just watching YouTube videos.
Yeah.
So a lot of my favorite things are sewing projects. So that slip cover. Another simple thing that I didn't really think about too much when I was doing it, but now that it's been done, I'm like, wow, I'm so glad I did that. Was we on our staircase, we had this disgusting carpet when we bought our house. And it had to be ripped out before we could move in. And at the time, I was like, well, I don't really know what I want to do here. So I just painted. They're just pine treads. And we just painted them. And it turned out so neat and clean. And I thought maybe it'd be a temporary thing, but it hasn't. It's held up great. And I really love it. And then last year or 2 years ago, I just added little like stair details. It's like a little detail trim on the sides. And it's, I forget what they're called. They actually have a name.
Where'd you find them?
I ended up going online and ordering them. And I've got a blog post about it. I ended up finding them. I had to search. I think I searched for like a month. So The blog post is called Adding Charm to a Staircase. And they're just little brackets, and you basically like nail and glue them on and paint them. I mean, it's that simple.
Yeah, and it really does add so much character.
It does. Yeah. And I look at it, I'm like, wow, those look like those have always been there. So I'm really happy I did that. Another really fun project. Like, we've done a lot of rooms, like renovation rooms, and some of that's been some of my favorite projects. But just like simple DIYs, the lampshades you had mentioned, those are so easy to make.
Okay, I have to, because I was searching on Ballard Designs and I'm like, oh.
Yeah, I know, right? Shoot.
It's like, yes. $90 for a lampshade this size.
And it's crazy. They're
so pretty. I mean, to add these patterned pleated lampshades are just, it's just one of those details where, to the untrained eye, which, you know, I'm very much the untrained eye. I'm just like studying and trying to figure it out along the way. You look at a room and you think, that room is so cool. And then you're like, wait a minute. That's because there's not a white lampshade. That's because the quilt on the bed is hand stitched. It's because, just like so many little things. And the lampshades is really one of them.
Yep. Yeah. We've been lucky enough, talking about balance. We're lucky. We actually are like 30, 45 minutes away from their outlet store, which pretty much everything that things I do have in my house from there have all come from that outlet store. Like, I think I've
I was looking at the lampshades and one of the first pictures on the lampshade was your photo on their website.
Yes. Yeah, they did. They did ask. They're like, oh, I guess. And I'm like, I guess. But so I have bought things from the outlet, which, you know, you can go and you find super good deals. And so I feel lucky. I'm like, oh, I'm glad we live nearby. But I'm with you. There's been so many lampshades. Like, there's one on there right now I want. But I'm like, it's almost $100. I'm like, no. So I started searching a while back. I guess it's been like a year or two ago, or maybe it was right before COVID. I started looking for a class that I could take on how to make lampshades, because apparently they have these places where you can go and it's like a 2-course class, and they'll teach you how to sew it and do it like the proper way. But I couldn't find one in my area. Like, there wasn't any in anywhere like within driving distance. I went online, and at the time I couldn't find anything. There was nothing online. So, you know, I'm like, well, gosh, there's got to be a way to do this. So I one day I just took scrap fabric that I had and this like little shade that was stuffed in my closet at the time wasn't being used for anything. I was like, we'll try this. And I just got out my hot glue gun and just cut little pieces of fabric and folded them over and just hot glued it and then put – and it turned out so cute. You know, but I don't think anybody will ever know that I made this.
Well, yeah, it doesn't have to ever come off again. So why does it have to be sewn, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so I've thought about going back, like, oh, maybe I'll learn the proper way to do this. But for now, like, I've done 2 or 3 shades.
I definitely never will.
Yeah. But
not if there's an easier way.
Yeah, it is. It's so easy. And I know, like, you know, anybody who comes over who maybe knows how to do it the right way would look at it and be like, oh, that's not right. But who cares? But yeah,
it looks good. I wouldn't have known that.
Yeah. So there's a post on that too. And like I said, super easy. You don't have to sew. If you've got a hot glue gun and scissors, you can do it.
Okay. Well, that is good to know, because I do want to start jazzing up all of my lampshades.
Yeah.
You can just get like a $12 lampshade at Target. Mm-hmm. And then, do you have any recommendations for fabric for that kind of a DIY project?
Yes. Okay. So I have noticed, and I figured this out a couple years ago when we did our guest bedroom. I had ordered this fabric on Etsy. It's like this vintage fabric. I got a great deal on it. It was so pretty. And I was like, oh, wouldn't it be awesome if the lampshade could match the drapes? Well, it was a drapery fabric. And so I did make the lampshade with it, but the fabric is thick. And so it makes the lamp very dim. So I would stick with like a thinner.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, it makes it dimmer, so it doesn't put off as much light. It also, it's just bulkier to work with, and so it was a little bit temperamental.
Mm-hmm.
I finished it. It looks great. It's just, you know, there's not much.
It looks good in the daytime.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. So I found with the other two I did, like a thinner, more like cotton fabric works awesome. It still lets light permeate, and it's easier to work with.
Okay. I have these pillows that I got last year from Target, and they're like stamped Is that what you would call that? Because I've been wanting to search for more fabrics like that where they look like they would be stamped on.
Yeah, like a block print. Is that what you're
saying? Maybe that's what I'm trying to come up with. Where
it's almost like a lot of times it'll be like florals. I think it originated in India. It's which I've actually, if you go on Etsy, yes, you can buy block print fabric for really inexpensive. I've done that. And that fabric is actually thin enough. You could do some lampshades with that really easily.
Okay.
Yeah, they also have like block print quilts, which I did a blog post on that, getting quilts from Etsy that come over from India. You got to wait a little while, but they're so much more affordable than anything you'll find here. And they're beautiful. Like, I absolutely love mine. And block prints. I don't know if there's another word for that, but that's all. That's what I call it.
Okay. Well, no, that gives me something else to search for. Cause I kept trying to search for like stamped, and that wasn't really turning up the result that I was trying to come up with, because I don't really know, but I want more pillows like that. I keep moving them. I've moved them to photograph in the cottage and then back in the house. I'm like, I want more of these pillows.
I know which pillows you're talking about that you shared, and those are super cute. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I would consider that block print. That's what I've always called it, which I've actually tried to make my own block print fabric.
I've seen somebody do that, like stamping.
It did not work for me. Okay. Maybe I didn't have the right paint or something. It didn't turn out as good as I wanted it to look. You know, like when you do a DIY, but you don't want it to look
like a DIY. Like every time.
This very much looked like a DIY. And I was like,
no, I know that's just part of the process. I think sometimes having those fails, but it's nice to learn from other bloggers and things so that you don't have to try things that maybe won't work so well. What is your process like when you go to decorate a room? Because this was something I was talking with Andrea from Pine and Prospect Home last week. When you're trying to design a room, and you can't really create a mood board because everything's going to come from all over the place. Do you make a list or do you have like a general idea, or is it just you don't have any idea and you just sort of piece it together over time?
Oh, goodness. Okay. So anytime I go to do a room, like I'll make a list. Like right now we are moving our powder room out of our laundry room, which is right off our breakfast nook. So for so many reasons, we want to move the bathroom out of there.
Okay.
So it's not right beside our table in our kitchen, basically. So we've got it. We're moving it out. And so I knew that I kind of had an idea in my mind of what I would like it to be and what I'd like it to look like. And so I have made a list. And essentially, like with all of our rooms or anytime I go to do a project, I basically make the list. And I'm like, okay, what can we DIY in this space? And then what do we have to buy? And when I'm going to buy something, I'm like, okay, well, ideally, what do I want in here? So I want for our bathroom, I want two, you know, wall sconces. And so first place I'm going to go look is on the Facebook yard sale site.
Right.
I try to get anything I can. Like I would bet 75% of our house has been purchased through the Facebook site, through Craigslist, through yard sales, thrift stores, antique stores. So I try to kind of get an idea of what I want in there, like basics, like lighting, lamps, and then I'll try to find those things used first. And then once I kind of get everything together, I'll go back, like all those little decorative things, like things for the walls or a cute little soap tray or something. I'll just kind of find here or there. It's never, I feel like no room has ever just come together all at once or like perfectly. Yeah, like you can't really hope it would. Yeah, no. It seems like every room I'm always adding something as the years go on, and I feel like it's always evolving and it's always getting better.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where I've realized when you want something to look collected, you have to be okay with waiting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you can't always just go. You definitely can't just go find it, especially if you don't have an endless budget. So whenever you're getting on Facebook Marketplace, what are you searching? Like, I don't know. Sometimes I'm like, okay, I search sconce, but then it doesn't really turn up the kind of thing I'm picturing. Do you have any like tips for how to find stuff?
Yeah. So I used to be very detailed with what I would type in. Like I would type in exactly what I was looking for. Like brass wall sconce or, you know, whatever it was. And I found that it just made it harder to find things because I think what most people do, if they're just trying to get rid of something, maybe they don't even know exactly what it's called. Maybe they just, they don't know technical terms for it, or if it's an antique,
they're
maybe
they
don't
know. Like light.
Yeah, they do. So I just got to where I just started searching more broad terms, and I do this on Facebook. I do it if I rarely go on Craigslist anymore, but if I do, I just do very broad, like wall light. I've even typed that, or just something super simple, because it pulls up more things that way. And that goes with anything. Like if I'm looking for, in particular, like a antique dresser, I'm not going to type in antique pine dresser. I'm going to type in dresser. I've even typed in just pine before,
right?
Pine, and just see what pops up. And that seems to work much better. Super broad.
Yeah, that's good to know. I feel like whenever you're trying to learn what your style is, sometimes certain things look like, you think that's going to be really great. You see the little picture of it on somebody's garage floor, you go get it, and then it doesn't at all look like what you were thinking. Do you have any tips for right now I'm trying to find lamps, because I've never really had like a lot of lamps in my house. And I'm like, I don't even know what I like when it comes to lamps. I see a lamp and I'm like, maybe that's cute. I don't know. I have no idea till I see it in my space. So do you have any tips for that?
Oh, goodness. Okay. So if you could see our basement right now, oh, how I wish I could take you on a tour. It is full.
Oh, do you have a lot of
oh my gosh,
stuff?
Tons. I've had a lot of like trial and error, and my husband makes fun of me all the time for it because he just thinks it's hilarious. But I would say I would do the same thing. I would get something like, oh, this is going to look so great. Or I'd be like, oh, well, that's, you know, that's pretty popular. I've seen people use that before. I'll try that. And I would get home and I was like, you know, I might live with it for a few weeks. I'm like, oh, I don't really like this like I thought I was going to.
That wasn't it.
Yeah. So it just, it's like, okay, it goes down to the basement, or I'd have to like relist it on the yard sale site to try to get rid of it. And I've done that so many times to where now I'm very hesitant to buy anything. I've got to a point where I'm like, unless it's just an absolute necessity we need immediately, I will sit on it. And which I feel like it's kind of the opposite of what a lot of people will tell you to do when it comes to antique shopping. They're like, you know, well, if you see it, you got to buy it when you see it. I've actually found that not to be true. I feel like there's always going to be something cool to buy. There's always going to be something antique. There's always going to be something that would work in your space. But waiting until you just find the perfect thing. And I think the more you develop your style, the easier you can recognize, oh, that would work. And there's been times where I'll see something on the yard sale site and I'm like, oh, I like it, but I'm not sure. And so I'll save it. And I'll have it saved for like 3 or 4 weeks. And sometimes I eventually end up going and getting it. And sometimes I don't. But I think I've learned restraint, which has been my best friend.
Yeah.
Because I think it saved me from a lot of like bad choice, bad buy choices.
Yeah, I think we do get that scarcity mentality sometimes with the antiques, because once you start looking more, you do realize that certain things are more common than maybe you originally thought they were. Like you start looking for one certain thing and you're like, okay, that's everywhere. So that's good. Now I can just know that I can maybe like sit on this for a minute. And
yeah, it's so true. And this is why I try to stay away from trends a lot, because it all just cycles through too quickly. Like you can go into an antique store and you'll see tons of certain things, and that's because they know it's trendy. They know people are looking for that. Well, if a bunch of people are looking for it, chances are you're not the only one who's going to have it in your house. A bunch of other people are going to have it too. So then my thought is, well, it's not really that unique. And I think that's the case with a lot of antiques. There's a lot more of that than you think there is. But yeah, getting back to lamps, all of my favorite lamps have either come from the outlet store. I did splurge on two or three lamps in my house they're just like the simple brass. They're from Pottery Barn, but I bought them at the outlet store. And even at the outlet store, they were a little more than I typically would spend on something like that. But I actually bought them like 12 or 13 years ago. And I still have them, and I still use them, and I still love them. So to me, that splurge was worth it. But it was one of those things that they were simple enough that I was like, I can use that in any style. And the quality was there. But thrift stores, I think the rest of my lamps that I really love have mostly been from thrift stores.
Yeah. I've been finding them more and more at thrift shops trying to come up with what which kind I like in my house. And I've bought a few that I once I sit them there, I'm like, no, that's not it at all.
Yeah.
But it was $3, so it's okay.
Exactly. Exactly. I've done that. I've gotten it home. It's like, oh, okay, well, $5. All right. Well, you know, that was not the right thing, but at least I didn't break the bank with it. I find that brass, like metal lamps, just simple ones, I don't ever get tired of those. If I get bored with it, mm-hmm. change the shade. And then I also really right. like ceramic ginger jar lamps. Do you know,
okay,
you
know, I don't know what that means, but
okay, no. So it's kind of shaped.
I'll have to Google that one.
It's shaped like a almost like not cookie jar. They're called ginger jars. I don't know
okay.
why.
Yeah.
But a lot of them are just like white or cream, and then you can find them in like blue and white, which is really popular too. I don't have yes. any of the blue and white, but I've got a lot of the white ones. And those I found, I've got two or three of them. I think I found those all at thrift stores. I think maybe one I bought at Home Goods years ago, but they're pretty easy to find, pretty simple too.
That's good tips. So do you have any go-to decorating secret weapons? So for example, I notice around your house, you have a lot of stacked baskets, and that's something that I started implementing into my home because one, I just think they look so pretty, and then they add additional storage. So that's probably one of your secret weapons. Do you have any more that like, whenever I have a blank wall or a blank space next to a couch, this is a good go-to.
Yeah. Okay. So the baskets, those are super handy, not because not only do they look good, but they also hold junk. So
yeah, exactly.
I wouldn't call myself a minimalist per se, but I don't like clutter. I don't like mm-hmm. stuff that we're not using. It stresses me out. I don't like cleaning around it. So I found that the baskets, I actually keep a few empty all the time.
Yeah.
And I would say almost every room there's an empty one because I found when people come over or if we know somebody's coming, I can quickly go around with that and like just pick up random stuff. Or like when I'm yeah. doing pictures for my blog, there's always yeah, going to be, you know, when you got a family. Yeah, there's like
there's
stuff,
gonna be stuff,
you know, there's just stuff everywhere. So super handy. And I love that like no one basket is the same. They're all mm-hmm. so different. They're all individually made. And I love baskets with lids. Those are like my favorite.
Yes.
Like you said, you can stack them.
Right.
So that's always kind of like if you've got like a space where you're like, oh, I need to fill this with something, but I don't want just like a knickknack or something like that. I always say baskets are awesome way to go because you can put them on shelves, countertops. You can have them sitting on the floor in the corner.
Yeah. And they're so warm and they add texture
yes.
and it just more items like that make a room so cozy. I'm thinking like, used to be like, okay, the less in here, the better. Now I'm like, really these layers make this room cozy. I don't like clutter. Like you said, like I don't want a bunch of items sitting around, but something like that doesn't feel like clutter to me.
No. And it's like they serve a purpose. Like everything I look around our house, I'm like, okay, I want to love everything I see. I don't want there to be anything in my home where like, I don't really like that. Or that's just, it's there, but it's not really useful. And it's not exactly cute to look at. Those kind of things bother me. Whereas like mm-hmm. baskets, like I said, like you said, they're great texture. They're super cute. You can store things in them. I've got them on my shelves in my kitchen and they hold like dish towels and things because I'm hurting a little bit for drawers and things in our kitchen. And so that's been super handy to have. Another thing I really love to use are, and they're kind of like baskets, but wicker trays. I've got a couple that actually have handles on them, and they are so handy. They're super cute to decorate with because you can put them kind of on any surface and then put whatever you want on them. And then you can also use them. So like when you have company over, like we spend a lot of time outside, which I haven't actually shared much, the outside of my house Ooh. Because like the inside, it was a jungle.
Okay. Yeah.
I wish you could have seen it, Lisa. It was crazy.
Do you have any before
crazy
pictures
overgrown.
For the blog? Or
oh my gosh, we have got. I've got certain areas. I feel like maybe that we shared. I've got a lot stored, and we're kind of working through. Like we just finished a gravel pea gravel like fire pit area last.
We're getting ready to do that very soon.
So I saved the before photos so that because I haven't quite shared it on the blog yet. so then I could do it all at once. But it's just been a jungle. And so I use those trays. I've gotten to where I've bought two or three of them. I'll use them for my pictures and decorating stuff, but then I'll take them outside when we do fire, you know, s'mores at the fire pit, or when we're having lunch or dinner out on the deck. So they're just super handy. I like decor that serves two purposes that you can use for two different things.
I agree. Totally. So do you have any like secret weapons for wall art?
Oh man. Okay. Yes. I think people either love this or they hate it, but I love it. Plates. I love antique plates or antique china. So bowls, plates, whatever. And I found that in our home where we've had like certain walls that I haven't found a piece of artwork there, or maybe I don't want something as personal as like family photos, that vintage plates work perfectly. And you don't have to use them just in like a kitchen or dining. I've got them in my living room. I've actually got them in my guest room, and they come in all different colors. You can get just the white, like antique white ironstone. You can do the blue and white transformware that's really popular. There's all different kinds of, you know, prints, I guess you'd call it, or whatever. But that's one of my favorite things to do. If I'm just like, I need a little something, but I don't know what, plates or platters work really well.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I just did that yesterday. Actually, we were redoing, we have a cottage on our property and we're making it into a guest cottage.
And I've been following
that. I did like this little tiny kitchen area. Okay. Well, it's finally done. There will be a video coming out
very
soon.
It's so cute. Like what you've shared, little bits of it is adorable.
I love it. We finally got it to where it's like guest ready. Like there's curtains on the windows. There's a little mini fridge and like a coffee, and the plumbing all works, and there's a nice mattress. Okay.
That's awesome.
It's comfortable.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
So, but yeah, I put some plates up yesterday in the little tiny little kitchen area of that. So,
yeah. Well, I love that you can find them. I don't know about everybody, but like where we live, I feel like I see them all the time for like $2-5.
Oh yeah.
You know, somewhere
they're
in that
very
range.
Easy to find.
Yeah. And I mean, it's easy to go and find some where somebody's like, I want, you know, $35, but on average, no, I pay like anywhere from $2 to $5 a piece for them. So they're super affordable.
Yeah. Yeah. They really are. They're so, yeah, they have to be too, because sometimes they get knocked off the wall and it has to be okay.
Yeah.
For them to, yeah.
So true.
So do you have any tips for rugs? I don't know if I really even studied your rugs closely. Are you doing vintage rugs?
Okay. So I actually just got my first vintage rug like a few weeks ago, and I got it from Revival Rugs. And I was honestly, this is naive, but I was terrified. I was really worried because I've never bought a vintage rug before. I didn't really know what to expect. I was like, okay, is this going to have some weird smells to it? You know, I didn't know. And it said they were cleaned and everything. I was so surprised when I took it out. It is like the most beautiful rug ever. We got it for our master bathroom, which we redid like 2 or 3 years ago.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. And
yeah, so it's just a small rug, but adds like a lot of color.
Yes, that was one thing with vintage rugs. The patterns and the colors are so beautiful. And I love that, you know, you can buy an old rug and you know that like it's a one of a kind. Like nobody else is going to be able to just go out and buy that exact same rug, which I think is so cool. But the rug was in like pristine condition. It was amazing. So I love that. I don't like to think of myself as cheap. But I think I am kind of cheap because I hate spending money on rugs. Like I love them. We don't have any carpet in our house at all. So rugs are a must.
Yes, same here.
But I will search a fairly long time before I buy a rug. I recently lucked out. I was out in Dawsonville, which is about an hour or so north of us. And there is a Pottery Barn outlet, which I don't really go to very much. But we stopped in and I wasn't looking for anything in particular, which is typically when you find something. But we found a big like 9x12 wool rug and I instantly thought of our master bedroom because the rug that we had I liked, but it was slightly small for the space. And it was in perfect condition. And they had marked it like $199. And it was like a 9 by 12.
That is cheap.
Yeah, for like 100% wool rug. I was like, this can't be right.
You can't even get like an acrylic rug for that.
No. And I was looking, I was like, this has got to be mislabeled. And I look up, you know, the label. I'm like, yeah, that's not the same rug. And so I mentioned it to somebody. And the lady at the register, she's like, I'll sell it to you for that. I was like, hot dog, sold. So yeah. I wait for those really good deals. Wayfair too. I'm not a big Wayfair shopper. I actually hardly, I know it's really popular. A lot of people love it. They do have a ton of stuff. I find it slightly overwhelming because there's so much.
Oh, I agree. Yes. I want just like a few good curated things. Yes. Like show me this and then I'm
yeah,
good.
When there's like 50 pages of rugs, I don't have time and it's, oh, yeah.
No.
So I have found a rug here or there on there for a good deal, but most of mine have come from outlet stores. The rug that I bought for my son's room, not too long ago, I actually got it at Home Goods. It was a Ralph Lauren rug. And I paid a little bit more for that than I really wanted to. But it was I think like a 12 by 14. I mean, it's huge. I think it was like,
oh, that is,
yeah,
big.
I think it was like 250 or something like that, which at the time, oh, wow. I was
yeah,
like,
that's not too bad.
No, at the time I was like, I don't really want to spend that for kids' room, you know? But I was yeah. like, for the size
yeah,
of the rug,
mess it up.
Yeah, but the size of the rug and everything, I got it. So, I mean, most of mine have been outlet stores, Home Goods. I found, you know, I'll look up sometimes, but. And then Revival, which I just discovered, and I absolutely love the first one. I think I'm going to get a second one for a kitchen, but I haven't done it yet.
I've looked on there and I really like them. I do think that they're probably a little bit out of budget for most people, but
yeah.
for like what you are doing in your bathroom, adding that pop of color with a small, because it's small, right?
Yes.
Your rug and your, yeah,
it is.
That's
it's
a good way
like,
to get into drugs.
A 3 by 5.
Okay.
It's a 3, so it's not, it wasn't huge. Now if you're going on there to look for something large,
like a 9 by 12.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to be spending a little chunk because they're not cheap yeah. by any means. But for like, if you want something small, like for our bathroom, I was like, you know what? This would be perfect. Probably
that's
a
good
bit
idea.
More. Yeah. Cause
that's a good
with our bathroom,
place to start with. Like, yeah, vintage mm-hmm. rugs. Like, just get a few small ones for the bathroom to yep. add that piece together.
Another place you can find real like some vintage rugs that are actually, I think, pretty affordable is Etsy.
Okay.
I actually know a couple people, Julie Blainer from julieblainer.com. She actually.
Yeah, she's a real life friend of mine.
Yes. Okay, yeah. She, I think she's got some that she's bought on Etsy, like a few.
Yeah.
If I remember
yeah,
correctly.
Yeah, I think she has a post on that.
Yeah. So that's, I always look at hers. I'm like, oh, those are so pretty. And I think, oh, I'm going to go on Etsy and search. And I just haven't done it. But I feel like she said when I talked yeah. to her that they were, like, I think they are fairly affordable. So, but yeah, I would just do like a small one, like start in a small space, especially if the space needs, like with our bathroom, I wanted it to be warm. So we did a lot of like rich wood tones. But we did the walls in like a cream, like a warm white color. And mm-hmm. so it needed like a pop of color. And I felt like that rug, even though I wouldn't go buy a really large one just because of the price point, but a small one for that bathroom was perfect. It was like just enough color
yeah.
for the space.
That's inspiring me for a few of my bathrooms that I don't have rugs in that I'm thinking, oh, that would be a good option
yeah,
to do that.
Yeah. Well, and to.
Because they're hard to come across
yeah.
rugs. Like you can find them online, but then you're going to pay for what mm-hmm. they are. But I find that you don't just come across antique rugs and vintage rugs.
No,
it's just
no, you
not
don't.
A thing.
No, I came across one. Oh gosh, it's probably been a couple of years ago now, and it was on the Facebook Marketplace. And I want to say, I mean, they were practically giving it away. It was huge. It was so beautiful. And of course, by the time I saw it, you know, somebody, oh, we've already got like
yeah.
20 people waiting. I'm like, rats. So, and I think that's the only one I've ever seen on there.
I think that they're so sought after that one, people typically will know what they have and
yep.
not just give it away. And then two, if they do, you're going to have 50 people in line for
yep.
it. So that's been a struggle of mine is wanting to have these colorful antique rugs because I have a few and they are the most comfortable, nice rugs.
Yes.
They just, I'm really glad for what I've spent on them.
Yep.
But they're not easy to come by. Maybe in some areas, but Not here.
No, they're not. They're not. But you are right, though. They're so nice and they're so cozy. Like when I got the one from our bathroom, I took it. I was like, oh my gosh. You know, going from like hard marble tile to then having this like nice rug to stand on. I was like, oh my gosh, I love this so much.
Yeah, you'll have them forever. The rugs that I've purchased, we will have forever. They are so nice and they're woven and they, yeah, unless I don't really know what could happen to them.
I'm all for it. I've gotten rid of enough cheap rugs to last a lifetime to where I just don't want to buy them anymore.
Yeah, that's how I feel. I'm like, this floor can stay bare till I find something that's actually gonna be what I want. So
exactly.
Well, do you have any final tips before I let you go back to your day on collecting things for your home so that it doesn't look cluttered and in like a garage sale, so that I actually, because your home looks so curated, like every piece goes together like a magazine, but they all came from different places. So do you have any tips for that?
I think it comes down to really knowing what your style is. And I think that sometimes it can be hard for people to pin down. I know it took me a little while to figure it out. I think what helped is when I shut off the HGTV shows and I stopped for a while, maybe like paying close attention to social media or other blogs. Not that those, I don't find those resources helpful or think they're a good thing, but sometimes when we look at too many things, we kind of lose track of what we really love. And sometimes you just kind of have to shut it off for a little bit and live with your house for a little while to realize, okay, this is what I love. I don't really care for this. Maybe it's popular, but it's not for me. I had to do that because I feel like when trends take off, they're just everywhere. And sometimes you can get wrapped up in it. And so one way I think finding your style, an easy way would be, say, Pinterest. Like if you go back and you look at your boards and look at what you've saved, a lot of times there's a lot of things that are similar in those photos. And you can kind of easily pick up on, oh, well, I have pinned rooms with floral drapery 100 times. Like maybe I'm really drawn to that. And that's why I keep saving those pictures. And so then when you find out, okay, this is what I like, it makes it easier to shop. Also, when you are wanting a home to look collected, you have to be patient. You have to be willing to be okay with waiting. It's not something you can just go out to the store and pick, you know, you may say, oh, I would really like to find a quilt to go on the back of this sofa, you know, in our family room. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, you're not just going to go out and find the perfect quilt the first time you look. It could take weeks,
no, they're like rugs.
Months. It's yes. Gonna take forever. Yeah. And the same with like lamps or even like I've gotten to where I'm making a lot of our curtains and drapery now and like fabrics, I'll look sometimes months before I find the right fabric, or maybe I'll find the fabric, mm-hmm. but it's not in my price range. So I have to wait for a sale, or I'll look for something that's more affordable, that's similar looking. It's a lot of, I feel like, waiting. And then because I've kind of figured out what my style is, I've gotten to where I know, okay, that's going to work. That's not going to work. But I think pinning down what it is you truly love, and knowing you love it because it suits you and your family and not because it's just what's popular. And then being patient and knowing that eventually you're going to find it. It just may not be when you're looking for it. I feel like anytime I go to look for something, like if I go into a store and I'm like, here's what I'm here for today, this is the only thing I'm looking for, I never find it.
I always want to be that way, but that's just not how it works.
No, it's not. Or you'll find something where you're kind of like, well, it kind of works, but it's not really truly what you want. And I think it's better to wait. And even if you have to spend a little bit more for that perfect thing, it's worth it because then you know you're going to have it forever. It's not going to be something in a few months mm-hmm. where you're like, oh, well, this, you know, I didn't like this that much anyway, so I'll let go, you know.
I think it just comes with time too, though, experimenting.
Yeah,
it does. Because you said you've brought in a lot of things into your home that end up not working later. And so you just have to, over time, work with what you have and what looks good in this certain spot. Mm-hmm. You can't really know ahead of time.
Yep. And I think too, once you kind of, because like I said, I've gone through so many things and some things I didn't, you know, I spent maybe a couple bucks on. I was like, okay, no big deal. Some things I may have splurged on. And then years later realized, oh, well,
yeah, that
I
always shouldn't hurts.
Have done that. Yes. And then you feel so guilty. You're like, I don't ever want to do that again. But, you know, once you start, once you figure out your style and you start layering, you know, and I think that that helps you too. When you go into a store, you realize, okay, is this something that I'm willing to splurge on or not? Because some things are worth it and some things aren't. I've gotten to where I will splurge a little bit more on fabric if it's a certain fabric I want, because curtains are one of those things. Throw pillows, I have them forever. I put curtains up and they stay there for a long, long time.
Well, that's actually smart, because I haven't gotten to that point. And so I have just a lot of cheap curtains, and I bet you I'll get sick of them. And I'll probably want to get something else.
Well, you know what, though? There's things like that in my house, too, where I'm like, I just need something here. And I like this okay, so I'm going to put it up. But when I started sewing, maybe this is lazy of me, but like when I started sewing drapery, and especially after I've learned how to make pinch pleat drapes, which mm-hmm. I'm obsessed with now.
Yep.
They take a lot of time to sew.
So, yeah.
And
research the fabric first.
Right. And so I'm like, I want to love this fabric before I spend all this time to make these drapes. So, but when I go, like going back to shopping and looking for certain things, I kind of always have a list that I have in my head of things that I would love to find one day. And it could be, it's all different kinds of things. There's a lot of different things I love, but I just kind of have this running list. And I know one day I'm like, well, eventually I'll find this or I'll find that, you know? So I think it just takes time. I really think, and I know that's not like the easy like answer that people probably
want to
hear.
You don't have a magic answer for us?
I know.
Come on.
It's funny because I'll have friends who are like, oh, well, you know, I'll have friends, they'll say, oh, well, next time you go to the antique store, will you look for this for me? I'm like, well, I'll look, but I'm probably not going to find it because you have to, you know, I think like, right. I think it's like 90% or we'll be generous. 75% of the time I go to an antique store or a thrift store or even on the Facebook marketplace, I don't find anything.
Yep. I agree. Yeah.
You know, I might find some things that are cool. But you don't. I think it's, you have to be willing to look frequently.
Yes.
And when you're just looking frequently enough, you eventually find something.
Yes, exactly. People always are telling me like, you find the coolest stuff. We have nothing like that where I live. I'm like, I think it's just because I go all the time. I don't really know if that's true. I mean, maybe some places don't, but a lot of things I even source online. So we all had like fair opportunity to find that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's just because I'm obsessively looking at all times for decor for this home. So
yeah. I find it very therapeutic. I actually think I enjoy the hunt as much as I enjoy the actual decorating, if not more.
Yeah. I love all of it. Yeah. It's so fun. It's so fun. And seeing it come together over time, something that you've been imagining is very rewarding.
Oh yeah.
And then seeing your family enjoy a space, like you're about to work on your exterior, having that space where your family can enjoy nights of barbecuing and s'mores, that's all what makes it worth it.
It is. And I guess the whole homemaking in general is so, so rewarding. Cause like you said, it's not just for you, it's for your family. And to have a cozy place that everybody can relax and feel restored is something that I think happens over time, as your home evolves and as your family grows, your home kind of becomes this, it becomes a haven.
Yeah.
And I love that, you know, as time goes by, your home changes just like your family changes. But yeah, just takes time. So I would say the thing that I would recommend is just tell people to be patient and to be constantly looking.
Yeah. And enjoy the process.
When I have my morning coffee, I'll like flip through the Facebook marketplace real quick and just kind of gaze through, see what I find. Most days I don't find anything. Sometimes I do. So you just never know.
Yep. I completely agree. Well, thank you so much for sharing all of your wisdom and tips. For anyone who really wants to just study every detail, the best place to find you is Instagram and then your blog, sincerelymariedesigns.com. You're pretty active on both platforms.
I am. I've been a little bit, I don't know if disenchanted is the word lately. I think I've just been, we've had so much going on here at home, all good things, just been busy that I've been away a little bit more than I want to be. But I'm trying to be better and be a little bit more consistent coming this spring and then this summer. Cause sometime lately I've just been distant.
Well, you have years of content for people to
this is true
take in, whether they've, you know, if whether yeah. you make any more at all. So great place yeah. to follow along with you over there on Instagram and your website. So thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Lisa. I was so excited to get sit and chat with you a little bit. It's good to see you.
Yeah, you too. All right, well, if you have not yet hopped on over to Amanda's Instagram after or during this conversation, I definitely encourage you to do so. Also, check out her blog for lots of DIY home inspiration. I know that I'm inspired to make some lamps, start looking at some of her fabric recommendations, searching for those block print pillows and quilts. So hope that you learned something, or at least just were entertained by us discussing one of our favorite topics, and that's home decor. As always, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast, and I will see you in the next one.